And but praise God. Amen. You're very welcome to Liberty Church. You know, and the worship was shorter than usual, I think. And this word is going to be shorter than usual. I'm going to tell you what I want to do at the end. So I'm telling the end before the beginning. And I know the end before the beginning. And but I'm going to invite every single one of us to surrender to God. Isn't that amazing that Bethany done this? And I'm going to invite us up to here. It's a long time since we've done a call, an altar call. That's what we call them, where we move. There's a movement in us. Like, God honors movement. Abraham, go, and he went, and he was blessed. Peter, step out of the boat. When he moved, he was blessed. And so you can get rid of nerves now, and it's not going to be freaking around. I'm just going to call you to present yourself before God. Because that's what we're called in times to do. And sometimes just sitting in the pew, we're in our own comfort zone. And there's times where that needs to be like where a step of faith is needed. What happens when you have a call of God? Because we all have. There's a plan and a purpose for your life. Jeremiah 1 says this, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were formed, before. And I preached a couple of weeks ago, months ago here now, about that before. What was that before? It was before anything that was even created, you were in God's heart. Before the moon, the stars, the seas, the fish, anything that you can, before Facebook, the internet, television, before World War I, before there was a flower that ever bloomed. That's the before. In the New Testament sense, that says before the foundations of the earth, God knew you and had a plan for your life. But what happens when you know there's a plan for your life and you carry baggage? What do you do with the plan and what do you do with the baggage? And that's what I want to speak on this morning. That God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Listen, I don't know about you, but if you are here and you are living your life thinking you're just making up the numbers of the 7 billion that's on this planet, or you're just going through life like toddling through, like taking everything that comes at you, that like you're born for greater stuff than that. You may be born to wash feet of people. If Jesus has you washing feet, that'll be the best job. If he has you preaching to the multitudes, that'll be the best job. Whatever it is he has for you and I, he had that planned. You are God's workmanship. He had already ordained works for you and I to do, even before the foundation of the earth. But we come into this life. And we're born where we're born, into the family that we went to school, where we went to school, the background that we have, the hurts, the habits, the hang-ups that come into our lives. And before you know it, we have baggage. I'm going to talk about a man, and it's going to come up on the screen. And before it comes up on the screen, I want to tell you a little bit about him. His name is Saul. And you find him in 1 Samuel. And Samuel was this prophet that was amazing. It says in the Bible that not one word of Samuel fell to the ground empty. That's powerful, isn't it? If Samuel walked into Bray, if this was in his day, if he walked into a village, the elders of the village would come out and say, is everything all right, Samuel? Are you going to call down fire? Like, he was held in such esteem and such awe because he was a man of God. And so the book of Samuel was written by Samuel. And in that Samuel, it talks about the first and second king of Israel, the first ever king of Israel and the second king of Israel. And before them two kings, Israel was governed by God. They heard the voice of God and they obeyed or disobeyed. And there was great things when they obeyed and there was consequences when they didn't. And that was up to that point. And the people of God says, at some stage it says, we want to be like all the other nations. We want a king. And God says, okay, you can have a king. Because you know, even though the king wasn't good for them, you say, God, I'm going to do it. I want. God says, there you go. You can have what you want. Now see where that brings you. And he brought a king and he warned him. He says, this king is going to take taxes off you and this king is going to bring your young men to war. And that's exactly what Saul done and that's what kings have done forever and a day since. And so anyway, the first king was called Saul. And Saul was, it says in the Bible, I don't want to read all, I'm going to bring you to where I want us to get this morning. But Saul, it says, was an impressive young man. He was tall, he was head and shoulders above everyone else. Never suffered with dandruff, ever. Thought you might get that. He was an impressive warrior of a man. He was from a good family. His family was business. They had donkeys. And he was gone one day because donkeys got lost. And him and his servant went to find the donkeys. And they end up in the place where Samuel, this prophet, was because they couldn't find him. And the servant says, we go to the man of God. He's called the prophet, or the old word is a seer. And he will see in the spirit where the donkeys is and tell us, and we'll go and get them. And he goes to Samuel, and eventually finds out where Samuel is. The day before, God spoke to Samuel the prophet, and he says, there's a young Benjamite coming. You're going to anoint him as the king over Israel. So he's looking for donkeys, and Samuel is waiting to call out the king that was in him. Impressive call. He goes up to Samuel, and he says, do you know where the donkeys is? He says, the donkeys are all right, but you're a king. And sometimes we need others to see what's in us because we don't see it in ourselves. We think we're going through life. We think this is what I have. And then some man or woman of God or the Spirit of God or a dream from God or the Word of God speaks to us, wherever it may be, and they call out, this is what God has for you. And then there was a series of events. He says, this is how you're going to know. You're going to meet people. You're going to see people prophesying. You're going to see people. They're going to give you some bread. And they're going to give you some food and all this. And he says, you're going to meet them at the tree of Tabor. I mean, you talk about precision. And Saul, on his way going, he met all these people. And the prophets of God came down singing and prophesying off the hill. And then Saul started to prophesy with them. And that was a confirmation of Saul. Impressive call, would you say? To be the first king, to be impressive. The Bible is describing him as head and shoulders. He meets the prophet. It's called out of God, called out of him, and he goes back to his people. And then Samuel comes where we are. In chapter 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 20 to 24. So Samuel called all the tribes. He's going to anoint them as king. That was in a private place, but now he's going to say this to the whole of the nation. Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and its clans of the Matrites was taken by lot. And Saul the son of Kish was taken by lot. When they sought Saul, when they looked for him, he could not be found. So they inquired of the Lord, is there a man still to come? Talking about Saul. And the Lord says, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. Then they ran and took him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted, long live the king. Wow, what an introduction. Now here was the most impressive man, had a great call of God, but when they went to look for him, he was hiding in the baggage. He was hiding amongst stuff that he wouldn't be found. What happens when you have a call of God on your life, but you also have baggage in your life? And the reality is we all have baggage in our life. And if you look at Saul, he had great victories. There's a call of God in all of our lives. And he had great victories. He went down and he smited the enemies of God. The people started singing that Saul killed his thousands, talking about the Philistines and the Amalekites that he went after. And he was this impressive king. But his baggage started to show. His baggage started to dictate to him. Yet he was the king, but he had baggage. What was his baggage like? He wasn't obedient to Samuel or to the word of God. His baggage, when he got found out, you can read it, it's a tremendous book. When he got found out, he would blame others. The baggage was speaking to him, don't take the hit. Don't take anything on. You blame others, you're the king. He'd make excuses for himself. He threatened to kill his own son at one stage. He had baggage of anger issues and baggage of self-esteem. He had baggage of violence. He had baggage of blaming others, making excuses, baggage of violence, unforgiveness, intimidation, insecurities. And when they rose up, this king with the baggage was now causing mayhem within his own people, his own family. Yet he had a call. But yet he had baggage. David comes along. In fact, his baggage ends him aunt brings him to even inquiring of a witch of a medium. His baggage, because he wanted to know, he wanted to be in control. Control of everything and your environment is a baggage. And he wanted to control everything, every word, every whisper, everything had to be according to how Saul seen it. To the point where God said, Saul, you won't deal with the baggage. He got chance after chance after chance to deal with the baggage. And he says, you can no longer be the king. And because of his baggage, his call was cut short. Because he wouldn't own up, because he blamed others, because he didn't go to God. He'd rather go to a witch than go to God. Because of all that, God says, I cannot leave you in the plan. I have to cut it short because you refuse to deal with this stuff. So he's still king, but he has baggage. He's still king, but he hasn't got God's favor anymore. The second king comes along. Samuel, God says, I've rejected Saul. He says, I have a new king. There's a little boy called David, 12 years of age, probably minding sheep for his father. And he says, Samuel, go to Jesse's house. He has a number of sons. And he says, we're gonna anoint the next king. He comes in to Jesse's house and he walks up to the village and the elders went there, as I said, and goes, everything all right here, Samuel? We're all right. We're gonna have a sacrifice. Saul ruled with fear. Even Samuel said, what if Saul finds out? Because if the baggage is not dealt with, it becomes a culture. And other people come under the baggage. So anyway, all the brothers come along. He's in. God says, I'm going to anoint one of these as the king. And all the brothers came along. He says, seven brothers came along. No. Seven is a number of completion in the Bible. He says, there any more? He says, well, there's David. He says, get him. David was the eighth son. Eight is the story, is the beginning of new things. 2018, beginning of new things. There's a seven-year closure up to 2017 in our lives, in your life, in things of God, in the timetable of God. Closure, behold, I'm doing a new thing. This morning, this year is an opportunity to enter into the new things. Entering into things without the old stuff, without the old ways, without the old thinking, without the old baggage, without the old hordes, habits, or hang-ups. This is an opportunity. Did God not already speak this morning through the worship, the surrender? So David comes in and God says, he's my man. So David comes and he's like full of beans. David had known God. He knew God when he was out mining sheep. It says in the Bible that when a lion came to take his lambs, he battered the lamb. Yeah, he made friends with the lion and just battered the lamb. That was a good idea. We're going to make friends, make sure it's with the lion and not the lamb. Anyway, no, that's wrong. He battered the lion. In Psalm 140, verse 7, this is David's prayer. Lord, cover my head in the day of battle. I was thinking, where did he learn that? Maybe when he was a little fella, minding the sheep and the lion, and a bear came out. And he knew he had to go into a battle. But was he going to go in on his own strength? Was he going to go in with his own, ideas? He says, no, Lord, cover my head in the day of battle. What a prayer. Cover my head in the day of war. And he runs out and he batters the lion and he batters the sheep, I was going to say again, and he batters the bear. He comes in. He knew that. That was his history. He knew he could trust God. He knew he could lean into the things of God because he learned it. And he comes in. And God says, there's my man. His father sends him back out to mind the sheep. He was anointed king, now he's minding the sheep again. I don't know about you, but my baggage wouldn't allow me to do that. I'm like, Da, watch yourself there. I'm the king. You mind the sheep. He was obedient. He was under authority. He goes out. One day his dad calls him. His dad says, I want you to go up to your brothers, up at the battle line. What had happened was, chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, a giant came out called Goliath. He stood there in the army of the Philistines and he sent out the champion and he says, "If let's fight one man on one man. He says, if you man beats ours, our man, we'll be your subjects, we'll be slaves to you. But if we beat you, you'll be slaves to us. So anyway, they roll out a man, he's like 9'10" or something. Like huge. And it says in these places in 17, Saul and his army were terrified. full of fear, quaking, because our baggage, his baggage caused him to forget the things of God, the God who gave him victory in the past. Our baggage starts screaming at us. No, you can't go there. You can't step out in faith anymore. You can't believe because the baggage is screaming at us. What about them, when I got hurt when I stepped out? What about when I was disappointed when I stepped out? And all the baggage is screaming till it produces fear and paralyzing a whole army. If you don't go with God's fight plan, you end up with a flight plan. And they forgot about God's fight plan, that he was with them. He'd never leave them or forsake them. But they forgot that because the Saul's baggage had now gone into all of the army. It says they were terrified and dismayed, discouraged. They were quaking, another translation says, when this giant comes out. If we tolerate the baggage, we will never celebrate the victories. It's a call today that God is saying, look at that baggage. Don't tolerate it anymore. The Bible says that he came, Jesus, that we would be free and free indeed. That he came to destroy the works of the enemy. And if I tolerate, I won't celebrate. If I tolerate my bad behavior, I'll never celebrate the victory of God in my life. But the calling of God to reflect and just call it out, Noli. Saul was hiding in the baggage and it spread it out. Adam, when he fell in the garden, he was hiding behind the fig leaves. Because the baggage causes us to retreat from the things of God, from trusting God, from holding on to God, where before that we were walking with God, loving God, celebrating God, communing with God. And God comes out when Adam sinned and he hid in the baggage, the fig leaf. Adam, where are you? Adam! Adam! Where are you hiding, Adam? Where are you hiding, Patrice? Naomi, where are you hiding? Where are you hiding, Noli? Saul hid and it went right through the whole army. David comes out. His dad says, bring that stuff up to your brothers. They're on the battle line. Yes, sir. He knew how to take orders before he learned how to give orders. He was going to be under before he was ever over. You're never under someone. God won't give you trust. You've been over someone. Even Jesus was under. I don't do anything unless my father tells me. So he goes up. He hears the giant coming out. This should come up there, should it? Yeah, well, let me read it. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the day of Saul, the man was already old and advancing. The man was already old and advancing years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul into battle, and the names of the 3 sons who went into battle were Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took a stand, morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of parched grain and 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. And take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000 and see if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. What do we do when we have a call and we have baggage? David, it says, left the things, the stuff, the heavy things that he was carrying with the keeper of the baggage. He went and brought it and he laid it down so that he could run to the battle line. Because you can't run to the battle line and fight freely if you're carrying the baggage. Because the baggage will weigh us down. The baggage will say, you can't, you never will, you won't get up again. Look what happened the last time. The baggage of relationships where we've been let down, the screaming ahead, the failures in our lives, the things that we got wrong, screaming at us, you'll never get up again. David dropped him at the baggage keeper. He said, here you go. I'm going to what I was called to do. I'm going to the front line. I'm going to the ranks. I'm going to stand with my brothers. I'm going to see what's going on in this army. Jesus said, paraphrasing, come to me all you who carry baggage. Give them to me. And take my yoke upon you. That's easy and light. He's saying we don't have to carry it. If we choose to carry it, if we choose not to surrender to him, if we choose not to give it to him, he can't destroy it, the works of the enemy, if we don't give it. He won't take the burdens and the things that make us heavy laden if we don't give it. But David shows us, give it to the baggage keeper. He will keep our hearts. He will heal our hearts. He has done everything so that we could walk in the freedom that he has. It says in 1 John that he overcame the world and so shall we. He's done it all for us. He wants us to align with him so we can walk as he walks. He ran. Can you imagine? Here's the cheese. Here's the loaves. Here's the bread. I'm going to what I was called to do. I'm not going to have the flight plan, because that's what the baggage of Saul brought. I'm going to have a fight plan. And I'm going to go to that fella. And you know the story, don't we? He goes to the king, and the king says, here, put on my shield and take my sword and take my armor. Take my baggage. Take the stuff that weighed me down. Take the stuff. This will give you victory. While you're sitting in the tent. David says, I'm not taking anything on. I'm going to trust God. And he goes out on the challenge. You talk about baggage. A giant. Who are you? You have nothing. You're not even wearing armor. But he did know. You're not carrying baggage. He says, I'm going to rip you up so bad I'm going to give your carcass to the birds of the air. David, no baggage. It wasn't landing anywhere. It wasn't tipping off, pressing the buttons of fear and intimidation in him, because he hadn't got it. He was freely. I remember when I was in Bible College, there was in Carrigaden, there was a beautiful picture of David on the wall running towards Goliath. And he's wearing like a little blue tunic, like a dress, like half a mini. And he's no sleeves in it, and he's just free. And it's like he's running, and he's sort of, like they describe David's hair, a bit auburn, and it's like blowing in this. And it's like, and the picture of him running towards Saul, like free, or towards Goliath, free. No baggage on him. And Goliath trying to press the buttons, press intimidation. Look, I've killed many men. I'm a champion. You don't become a champion by name only. You come by action, fighting. And he knew the name of Goliath of Gath, the champion. I'm going to rip you up. Doesn't matter. You come against me with sword and javelin, but I come against you in the name of God. He was free. He was free to swing the stone. He was free to get rid of the baggage. We're left. David, don't get me wrong. David became king. David created his own baggage. But the thing you'll see in David's life that's different than Saul's is that every time he recognized the baggage and he'd done horrible things, he went before God. Sometimes tore his clothes off, put sackcloth and ashes over him. He says, God, I got it wrong. I gave into the baggage. I gave into it. Will you stand me up again, Lord? Would you cover me in the day of battle again? He never made excuses. He never shows that he didn't end. He didn't go on. David lived happily ever after. No. David was human and created his own baggage, but he brought it to God every time, because at the beginning he knew where to leave the baggage with the baggage keeper. I believe God is saying, in chapter 10 of John, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, and he says that he is the doorkeeper. He is the one, talking about Israel coming into the gospel, and he says, he's the one that will open the door. The word in Greek means a porter. The Holy Spirit is the porter. Isn't that beautiful? What does porters do when you go to hotels? They carry your what? Baggage. He's the one that will let you go through the door light. He's the one that will let us go into our future a bit lighter than what we came in with. And he's asking us today. He's asking us, come on, bring your stuff. For all of us, it's different. What keeps you awake at night? What's the fear that when the enemy presses in your heart or in my heart that causes me to flight and not fight? What is it am I saying that, Jesus, you can't heal this? You didn't take this on the cross, did you? Yes. Jesus, can I be free and free indeed from this weight? Yes.